I have entitled this recording ADHD Career Perspectives. In the ADHD world, we tend to be a very good fit for some careers or job descriptions, and others we're not the best fit. So in my psychiatry practice, I see people take on entry-level jobs that they don't like. Sorry to start this out on a negative. We're going to end, I think, on a very positive note. But just to kind of set the stage for the conversation, there are entry-level jobs out there that are either, well, customer. We'll call it the call center. People who take calls from customers who usually have a problem. Something is not working out, and they're upset. So that can be stressful. One of the rules that I follow with ADHD is that we thrive when we're having fun. And if you think you can work in a call center and help people to solve their problems, that's a very nice thought. The practical part of it, though, is that, and this is an example of nice thought, but there's a downside. And so we want to consider the potential downside, which in my experience normally does play out. I suppose it depends on what kinds of customers are calling. But if you are doing a job trying to help people who are angry with you already, that angry customer will take all the fun out of what you're doing, or could, unless you have a steely type personality whereby you can weather all the anger and the criticisms. And so then other jobs are just not stimulating enough. Such things as data entry, for instance. Well, it takes a smart person to do it. You might be well paid to do it, but you're sitting at the computer doing the same thing over and over again. We will come back to that, but I think you get the idea. All right. So there are some careers and jobs that are a good fit for people with ADHD. And what do I mean by that? Well, those of us with ADHD are creative, sensitive and intuitive, meaning we read other people well, and we're often highly intelligent. In my practice, which is, in what we call the East End of Louisville, people who come to see me normally have jobs, or they're between jobs, or they're students, and so they have pretty good brains, but maybe with some ADHD going on, and so. In the psychiatric interview, we ask about are you creative, intuitive, and sometimes highly intelligent. People don't feel intelligent in everything they do, but at other times they can be brilliantly intelligent. So if we look at that strength of ADHD, then we would look for jobs or careers that would be creative or intuitive, such that you develop a certain intuition for what your customer wants, and what you therefore might be able to sell to the customer. They say the ideal salesman is one who learns what will improve his customer's life and then sells it to them. In all due conscience, you don't want to sell somebody something that will be a waste of money for your customer. So I'm going to go through a list and highlight some of these principles as we go. We're going to start with, I don't know what I want to do. Well, I have a lot of people saying that, particularly young people. Imagine, a 24, 25-year-old man who didn't succeed in college, and he has kind of moved from one job to another, and he's sitting in front of me saying, "I really don't know what I want to do." So general and discussion and instructions that flow from that are what general area would you be interested in? You don't have to decide right now exactly what would be the perfect fit for you. That's so instead, what's the general area? Do you want to be in a vocational field whereby you are, an electrician, and then maybe an electrical contractor owning your own business eventually? Same thing with plumbing. Would you like to, do you like real estate? All those tend to go together. Or do you like the business world, such that you want to sell things to people? You want to be in retail sales, for instance. Or do you want to go down a path toward in the medical field, doing something there? Do you want to be in criminal justice, legal, that area? So decide on a very general area of interest, and then you start down that path. Now, in ADHD, and I do this a lot, I've kind of learned to catch myself. I will sit and think and be creative, and I am kind of end up hyper focusing on this thing that I want. And the more I think about it, the more creative I become, the more details I add to it. And before long, it's this big thing, thoroughly thought out, planned out, outlined, and ideally, there's an element of business plan there. And by that, I mean, ideally, I've been emotionally mature enough to think about the potential downside of what I want to do. And so for someone with ADHD who's trying to figure out what he wants to do, as he starts to think about it, he can be creative about so many different things in so many different ways that he kind of gets lost and all the possibilities, and therefore doesn't know what to do. And then when he sits down with his trusted advisors to try to figure it out, those trusted advisors might have the effect of casting doubt on every idea he comes up with, offering him the downside, something he might not have thought about. And then he hears all that as being discouraging. So whatever I want to do, I'm discouraged. And so then that pattern can be set up. So, nevertheless, instead of doing all that, if you just decide what general area do I want to be in, and then start down that path, look for a job that gives you some basic skills, maybe with the idea of combining the skills from that job with the skills you learn in the next job. I call that combining skill sets. Another concept to be careful with ADHD is what I call pushing versus consistency. I had a man who saw me as a new patient a few years back, who when it was time for to sit down and talk with me, he comes rushing into the office with the satchel overflowing with papers, and the guy was, a little bit overweight, but was wearing a suit for someone who weighed less. Trying to be tactful there. The point is, that this is this, and he was seeing me because he was having panic attacks, and I could kind of see from that this guy, in order to be successful, is pushing, 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 pushing. And what I thought to say to him is that success is not so much about pushing as much as it is consistency. Now, we could get into a discussion about that. Obviously, a certain degree of pushing yourself to achieve higher levels is generally thought to be a good thing. But in the ADHD world, too much pushing can lead to a certain hectic disorganization about it all. And that in that hectic disorganization, you're not really thinking clearly, you're not thinking things through, not thinking them out, not thinking about potential downside. You're engaging in essentially an urgent type of impulsive thinking, which won't work as well for you as that slower, more consistent way of thinking. So I think I have reached the point then where we can talk about some specific job descriptions. So well, let's start with sales and marketing. Sales and marketing is creative by its very nature, and selling to people, marketing to people, is also a matter of if you read people easily, you connect with them easily, you click with people easily, then that means you can set up that sales relationship. I have, over the course of my career, had the opportunity to talk with people who are selling medications and selling surgical equipment. And, they all come in with the same style, which is that of, they've learned somehow to ask me what I do and ask me what I want. And I really don't want to take the time to talk about myself. And maybe I'm the exception. The rule is most people like talking about themselves, but in my office, I don't want to talk about myself. Now I understand that this is a sales technique that's intended to get to know me and my patterns and my needs. But I tend, with my ADHD, I tend to be a bit impatient. I want to know what you're selling and why, and think for myself about how it might be useful for me. And so people who come in who are a bit pushy and not really connecting with me on that intuitive level, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with them. And then occasionally a sales rep will come along who's easy. How are you? How are things going? Anything I can help you with? And so with that absence of pushing, there's a more comfortable relationship developing. I remember when I was in practicing neurosurgery, there were a lot of people wanting to sell new surgical equipment, which was very costly. But there was this one sales rep, we'll call him Chuck because that was his first name. Chuck would drive in from, a city 2 hours away and kind of show up and be easy and respectful of, how my day is going and what mood I might be in. Was I stressed out? Was I receptive or not? And his demeanor, if you will, was just to show up and see if there's anything he can do to help. And so with that, I could relax and well, what kinds of options do I have here? Let's get a conversation started. So with him, we went out to lunch, a few times and enjoyed a very comfortable relationship. The point being, he was one, I don't know if he had ADD or not, probably not, because he was a rather steady kind of guy. But the point is, he was connecting with me and he wasn't pushy. And so I tell that story in order to say people with ADHD are normally intuitive people. We don't have to be pushy. We just have to show up and let that intuition develop and otherwise be comfortable people to work with. And then we're very creative. We're tuned in more than most people are. We're more creative than most people are, I believe. I believe that ADHD, because it's kind of a thoughts are a little bit disorganized, that very lack of organization is what allows the creativity to develop, whereby thoughts connect at random in our heads and we brainstorm better than others. And so we're more creative, more intuitive, and of course we're smart people. So sales and marketing is a good fit for somebody with ADHD. Likewise, information technology. I don't know how many patients I have who are in IT, many, and many with ADHD. Why do people with ADHD thrive in information technology? because they're being creative, figuring out problems. Everything that comes along is new. There are unanswered questions that they have to come up with the answers to. And it's one problem to solve after another, therefore variety. You don't know what each day is going to hold. And so then, you can, no, nobody's sitting there telling you how to solve the problem. You have to come up with those solutions on your own. So that kind of independence, and then the ability to be creative, and I will say focus on one problem at a time, maybe even hyper focus on the problem, get it solved, feel that sense of accomplishment, and move on to the next one. IT is a good fit for people with ADHD. Real estate. I have bought and sold several homes, and in that process of working with realtors to sell and then to buy the next one, frankly, I kind of like that process. It's also very creative. And as imagining being a realtor, that realtor then wants to develop that intuition for his client, and kind of see what their lives are like, and what they want, and what they can handle, and what they are dreaming of, and how those dreams may or may not be practical. And so that real estate then is a good fit. Now, there's a lot of paperwork with real estate, and yet when you're driven to make the sale, then you're also driven to get the paperwork done now. You can't put that paperwork off until later, and so then you're glad to do it, because it is once there's paperwork to do, there's a certain urgency to it, because you want to get that sale now instead of maybe letting it slip by. So in a similar sense, I'll add interior design to real estate, because we're still talking about real estate in a sense. But interior design is very creative, and here we're kind of venturing into the artistic. People who are artists and musicians are often people with ADHD, because they are very creative. And in fact, I've known people with ADHD who want careers in music, but it's not opening up for them in any practical way. That is, they can't make a living at it. And every time I hear somebody's an artist, I'm thinking, how in the world are you making a living as an artist? So here we have to be careful that in a discussion of career options for those of us with ADHD, it isn't what you dream of and have the most fun doing that's going to make you money necessarily. And I'm being rather blunt here, that a career in music can feel really good. But as my father would say, how are you going to support a family on that income? So you do have to, that this is an example of, oh, I love the idea of doing it. What is the potential downside? What are the consequences? What am I willing to give or give up in order to have this fun in this career? So the potential income then is something that you must consider if you're going to be emotionally mature about career choices. Counseling is the next one on the list. I believe that those of us in the mental health field are or should be very good at developing an intuition for people, and how they're feeling, and what they want, and how to connect with them, communicate with them, and help them with their mental health issues. Now, of course, in the mental health field, we have psychiatrists, we have psychotherapists, and psychotherapists can be psychologists or social workers, marriage and family therapists. Counselors can also be licensed professional counselors. There's that's similar, and then there's pastoral counseling. So what happens is that people get degrees and certifications and licenses in each of these areas. And then they go about helping people. And as they go about helping people, they end up doing very similar work. That is, the pastoral counselor's counseling is going to look very much like the social worker's counseling, because it's all about learning how to help people. And then, of course, you bring a certain knowledge base into it, what you've learned in your educational pursuits and what you continue to learn in continuing education. And so with the learning, then it can be rather exciting helping individual people. And again, you don't know what each day is going to hold, really, even though you might have a schedule. So I believe that because of the creativity and the intuitive abilities of people with ADHD, that we are very good in this mental health area that I've generally called counseling on this list. Project management is an interesting idea. At first glance, project management is about a project that you're working on, and you're working with people and you've got an end in mind, and there's going to be a reward at the end, so to speak, that feeling of accomplishment. On the other hand, I've had patients who are project managers, and they are sometimes in a job description which is not particularly fulfilling. They do a segment of the project, and then once that segment is done, then somebody else might pick it up and do something with it. And so one of the problems of project manager is that those individual people often don't get to see the end result. They're just managing projects somewhat indefinitely with no real sense of gratification. So remember, with ADHD, you thrive when you're having fun. And even though project management may seem like it would be a good fit for you, and it may be, you want to think about that perhaps a little bit more and make sure that the path you're getting ready to go down is a good fit for you, that you're going to enjoy the work, you're going to enjoy the people you're working with, and you're going to feel that sense of accomplishment from time to time. If not, it won't be enough fun for you to thrive for a long time. Being a chef, okay, this is another interesting option. So a lot of us love to cook. Do I love to cook? I cook a lot. When I cook creatively. There are a few recipes that I'll do over and over again. I seem to have gotten Thanksgiving dinner down to an excellent menu that I really don't want to experiment with. But at other times, if I'm always looking at the next recipe, and part of the growth as a someone who enjoys cooking is looking for new ways to do things. That's creative. That's ADD stuff. Being a chef sounds like it's a lot of that. And oh boy, wouldn't it be fun to get a degree in, for instance, French cuisine. Oh, that really sounds elegant, stimulating, all that. And then what? So you have to ask, what will my work life be like after I get this education? Well, a lot of people are going to end up in a restaurant in which they are cooking the same recipes over and over and over again. The menu doesn't change often enough. And so then you end up doing the same thing over and over again. That is easily monotony. And there's often not somebody standing there saying, "Oh, great job," over and over again. Oh, great. No, instead, in the restaurant world, I've never worked in a restaurant, so I want to be careful not to say the wrong things here. But I'm just saying, if you want to be a chef, look at and talk to Look at what that lifestyle, that work lifestyle is going to be for you. You're going to be working nights. You're going to be cooking the same things over and over again. Is there enough creativity, enough variety, enough fun in it to sustain you over a period of time? So then you want to talk to chefs before making that decision. Sports and sports management. Okay. Yeah. Same thing. It can be. I mean, people do sports because it's fun. Sports management is something you can do because it's fun. And people with ADHD would normally be really good because they thrive on that, we'll call it thrill seeking, that fun factor that sports can often bring. Games can be thrilling. So understand the draw. But think ahead. Think 5 years, 10 years. Where am I going to be if I go down this path? What practically happens? And the only way you're really going to know is to talk to some people on the inside before you make final decisions. And don't hesitate to go ask people to talk about themselves. They love that. People are complimented when you say, "Hey, I think I want to be like you." Okay, yeah, let me tell you a few things. I'll help you to think about it. You don't help you can mean I'm going to help you get a leg up and I'm going to help you with opportunities. That no, the kind of help you want is help with insight. This is my experience. Here's what I've seen. Here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what you really want to know. The next item on the list, industrial maintenance. Now, I had a patient come see me once, middle-aged man. He did not look like a well-educated person. Let me just say that to be tactful. And then he said to me, "I'm really excited. I'm getting ready to get my degree." And I said, "Really? What's your degree in?" He said, "Industrial maintenance." And I said, "Really? There's a degree in industrial maintenance? I wanted to hear more about that." And he said, "Well, yeah, think about it. There are these huge plants that have a lot of machinery just to keep the place going. Somebody needs to know how to maintain all that." And I thought, well, of course. I didn't, I mean, I was actually kind of delighted in that moment to learn something that was just entirely new to me. I never thought about that. I'd never been in that environment. But it was thrilling just to hear that, yeah, there's this whole world out there, this whole educational path that you can follow in order to know how to do industrial maintenance. Now, I added electrical and plumbing to the list because they are also career paths in which there is a lot of creativity. Now, yes, you can get into jobs that are somewhat monotonous and not particularly creative, or you can work for people who take all the fun out of it. But generally speaking, electrical and plumbing are similar in the sense that they are, well, I have both in my house, and so, it's kind of a similar thing. If I have an electrical problem, I'm calling an electrician, plumber problem, call a plumber. And then when those people come, they have a problem to solve. And they're going to solve that problem and they're going to feel a sense of accomplishment. I'm going to be grateful. And the life of an electrician or plumber is usually going to vary enough to be interesting as opposed to being monotonous and boring. And oh, by the way, and I'll tell you a brief story. I have a patient who, and because he's a patient, I have to talk in rather general and vague terms lest I identify him. But this is a middle-aged guy who came to see me with feeling a little bit depressed because this big company had offered to buy out his business. And his story was that years back, he set up his own heating and air conditioning business, and it was doing very well. And this big company wanted to buy his business. And when I asked him, how much money are we talking about? Do you mind letting me know that? Well, let's just say it was in the millions. And I just, and you're depressed about that. Well, it turns out that he didn't know what he was going to replace that with. But the point is that he had set up his own business, heating and air conditioning. He was the kind of guy who just wanted to serve the public, serve his customers, do a good job for everybody. And then, in a relatively short period of time, he's got a multi-million dollar business to sell. I was impressed with that. So that brings to mind, and I didn't include it on my slides here. If you take 100 entrepreneurs and test them for ADHD, how many do you think will have ADHD? I heard 50%, which is a very high number. If the incidence of ADHD in the population is 5 to 10%, maybe a little bit more if you have the very mild degree of it. If 50% of entrepreneurs then have ADHD, then that speaks to the correlation between being creative enough and smart enough to set up your own business and succeed at it. 50% of people with ADHD are entrepreneurs. No, that's not what the statistic said. 50% of entrepreneurs will have ADHD. So, having that dream of setting up your own business may be a very good fit for you. Now, you may not be able to get there very quickly. It might be a year thing that pans out at, age 35 to 40, after you have had jobs in other areas in which you are acquiring the skills you're going to need to run your own business. It's a buildup. And so if your ideal career path is own your own business, then what you do is you create the path to get there. It's a creative process, and you have to have the patience then and the dedication to see it through year after year, which does require a bit of persistence and consistency, some sense of setting and achieving goals. So yeah, I wanted to say a word for entrepreneurialism because it comes up often in the ADHD world. And when I have somebody with ADHD coming in and he's got his own business, I'm thinking, yes, that's where you're going to thrive. That's a good thing in the ADHD world, successful thing often. Not 85% of small businesses fail, so be careful. All right. Lastly, working on the line. So here in Louisville, we have several companies that employ people to work on the line. On the line means that it's an assembly line, and the employee is standing there doing pretty much the same thing over and over again. And that is monotonous. That is not about being creative, problem solving, that kind of thing. There are very few people with ADHD working on the line, unless the patients that I have seen with ADHD who work on the line have a very active mind with something going on in their ears. They're listening to podcasts, or they're listening to books, or they work on the line and they do other job descriptions in somewhat of a floating capacity within that business. So I just want to caution you, and this gets back to the earlier comments about people who take entry-level jobs. Well, those jobs are frequently businesses who need people to plug in and do something rather, let's just say, low level over and over again. And when you have ADHD, you need to ask yourself, how long am I going to be happy doing that? A word to the wise. Now, lastly, want to tell you a story, one of my favorite stories to tell. So, when I was in medical school, I wanted to be a pediatrician. I love children. I remember spending about 2.5 years out of the 4-year medical school time focused on being a pediatrician. And that time was roughly, at the end of my freshman year until halfway through my senior year. Well, halfway through your senior year, you've normally interviewed in residency programs looking for a place to go and do more. Do your residency after medical school. So, I was, really interested in pediatrics. And then in October of my senior year, as I was interviewing in, I think, 4 different programs, there was this article that represented a survey that came out in one of the major pediatric journals, which described pediatricians, their lifestyles, and meaning their professional lifestyles. How many hours did they work? How many phone calls did they get at night? And would you do it over again? And when I read that survey, it had the effect of taking all the fun out of it for me, because I just thought, I don't know that I want to live this life. And so all of a sudden, after all this investment of time and interest, I was having to reconsider. And so during this process, though, I think it was in perhaps November of or October of that year, I was in St. Louis for a month, doing some of my education there. And then as I headed back to Louisville, I had an interview set up in Memphis on the way back. And so Memphis is a little bit of a detour, but the point is, I went to Memphis. Now, I did not have a particularly good experience in St. Louis, and I had already been to Birmingham, and I pretty much not found that interesting enough. And one of my options was just to stay in Louisville. And I did seem to have that option. And so I thought, well, I'll just stay in Louisville. But I've got this interview in Memphis set up, so I'll go ahead and do it. So I went ahead and drove to Memphis on the way home. And the idea was to spend the day interviewing with, several people, pediatricians and residents, and just have kind of an experience. Well, because I had spent 2.5 years in pediatrics, and because my emphasis was in neonatology, which is the newborns, I was able to have, pretty intelligent conversations with them. And as the day went on, they seemed to be having a good experience with me, and we started, talking about, well, I think I might rank Memphis as my number one choice. There's a matching system. And they were saying, yeah, we want to put you at the top of our list as well. It was all very genuine. And so then, the day was over, and I thought, wow, that went unusually well, because often in an interview setting like that, I would be a bit nervous, a bit self-conscious. And I realized that I made as good an impression as I did because I had already decided not to go there. And so there was no pressure. And so that brings me to the point of the story, which is that if you're going to interview for a new job, if you go in thinking, I have to have this job, and what are these people going to think of me, then you're going to be self-conscious, and the interview may not go as well. On the other hand, if you have the attitude that you are going in there to interview them, that I'm coming in here to see if this job opportunity is going to be good for me. Will I thrive here? Will I have enough of what I need? In an ADHD sense, will I have variety? Will I have some creativity? Will I have some independence? And what about the people? Because people can take the fun out of it. So you do want to meet the people and see, are these people that I'm going to enjoy working with for a while? Because if you see the point, it isn't that you're going and hoping to get that job as much as you're going in there to see if that job is a place where you would thrive. And if you have that orientation to it, then you're going to be more confident and more relaxed because you're going to know if this place is not for me, then I'm not going to be interested anyway, whether they offer me the job or not. So just wanted to offer that story. That seems to be an interesting lesson, as I've told that story to a bunch of people over the years. All right. So that brings us to the end of this segment on career perspectives in ADHD. You know, the takeaway is be careful to find a job that is a good fit for you, that takes advantage or exploits your strengths, your ADHD strengths of being creative, intuitive, and highly intelligent.